So that book that I was mentioning just now, it's called Edward, and well, have a listen just to the opening paragraph read here by the author.
First there was the light, warm and scintillating, then the courtyard with its dirty earth floor. To my right was the massive dressed stonework of the castle. In front, the lower wall and the heavy oak door leading to the kitchen garden. In the village below was bustle and noise and the stench of life. I paid it no attention. Facing me, not 10 paces away, stood my tutor, Sir Thomas, sword in hand.
There you go, the opening to the story. And the book is quite simply called Edward, as I said. The author is Mike Voice, who's a Leicestershire lawyer. And it uses the unusual device of hypnosis, with the author becoming hypnotised into past life regression. And this life isn't any old life, but that of the future Duke of Buckingham, Edward Stafford, son of a traitor. And here's where it gets interesting, with a better claim to the throne than the Tudor kings of the time. The scenario, as proposed by the Mike, is that the Tudor line is not legitimate following the death of Richard III. The Tudor rule is by tyranny and embezzlement. And into that comes Edward. He's on the run from the age of 5. He's a prisoner of the Tudors from the age of 7. And then he's forced to support the Tudors and join in the killing of their detractors. But there are two saving graces in the story for Edward. His love for Edie and their daughter, and his inheritance of the Holy Grail, the sword, and Druid glass. But it's an incredible mix. So when Mike came into the studio, I had to ask him first, is Edward history or fiction?
In the words of the politicians, Dave, I'm glad you asked me that. Because, of course, you see, it's both. There are things in this book that you cannot put forward as university-style history, and it wouldn't be accepted. But it is true.
Now, the title of the book is Edward, and central to it all are the Dukes of Buckingham.
Mm.
Can you give us a bit of background about, you know, why the interest in them and how they are central to the book?
Yeah, it's very little known fact, but the truth of the matter is that Edward Stafford, after the death of Richard III, had overwhelmingly the best legal claim to the throne. In fact, in the time of Henry VIII, much of the king's annoyance, he became heir at law to both Edward III and Henry VI. In other words, he was the rightful king.
In the book, you use the kind of device of moving between you in the present and going back to the past. So, what's the nub of the story? How does it all work?
Well, in some ways, and certainly the thing that is most likely to strike a reader, is the love story between Edward and Edie. The thing is, this was in defiance of a marriage contract, which had been worth the equivalent of millions, and there would have been a call for a parliament and all sorts if Edie had not been done away with.
What really was your inspiration for writing a book like this then?
I wrote it because I had to, and what I described really did happen. So this hypnotist who was employed in my research project precipitated me into it. I guess it was always there.
Just tell me about the hypnotist, that's fascinating.
Mm. Well, I had this, I've described it in the book, of course, but I had this research project looking at the dangerousness of serious criminals. If you go in under their conscious minds, you can find out how dangerous they are, and I was satisfied you could do that. So I had this hypnotist who was incredibly charismatic and very, very able. And over dinner one evening, she precipitated me into past life regressions. And quite by suggestion and a dirty trick, if you like.
I have witnessed one of these myself, and I'm just so not sure about it.
It's very, very difficult because, as I also say in the book, another hypnotist, very, very high standing, is very much against past life because he takes the view that subconscious can tell lies like the conscious can. I don't actually agree with it. What she did was she just gave me suggestions of a hypnotic nature as I wasn't paying proper attention over dinner. Those germinated as I was driving back in the Yorkshire Dales, and when I closed my eyes, literally there it was.
Genuinely, you see yourself back in those times, do you?
Yeah, this is in no way unique. And we all have done or can picture ourselves having done this stuff. So that really, I think what's important is the story and whether the story is true, rather than, you know, that I did it.
You talk about, you know, Edward's story that is one that has to be told. What's the headline of that story, would you say?
Ever since Richard III, there has been no lawful government in England. Now, you can argue that the Stuarts restored legality because they were legitimate Scottish kings. When Henry VIII abolished the Catholic Church, he made a change to all our then future histories. Nothing would have been the same but for the Reformation. And when you combine that illegality with that major religious change, which created the civil service, that created, if you like, the Protestant work ethic in England, all sorts of things, we certainly wouldn't be where we are now.
You also said, Mike, that there was something very new to say about Richard III. And obviously, in this part of the world, we are, you know, very, very interested in anything that has to be said about Richard III, I guess. How does that fit in with the book, or is it something which has developed from the book?
It's very, very much in the book, because part of the visions was seeing the wicked Bishop of Ely, John Morton, using hypnosis techniques on Henry, Duke of Buckingham, to persuade him that Richard had killed the princes, who were the Duke's wife's nephews. It was a family matter. And that Richard was unsound. There's absolutely no reason why Richard should have killed the princes. They had already been illegitimated by the church. However, through this hypnosis stuff, I guess you could call it, the Duke of Buckingham believed Richard had killed the princes, and by rebelling against the man he'd only just put on the throne, it persuaded England. Now, I think in those days, the whole of the population was even more against child molesters, child abusers, than we are today. And so nobody had a stomach for supporting the man who'd killed his nephews.
The book is called Edward, a novel, Mike, and how much is it and where can we get it from?
Well, it's published in the USA, so we'll talk to Waterstones, but the main place to go is the internet, and either Amazon or Booklocker who published it. It's available on Kindle. I'm just putting it into other ebook formats, in fact, today. And you can get it as a PDF from Booklocker.
Here we go. That's Mike Voice, who is the author of this book called Edward, talking about his book that he's just written. It's available, as I said. You can go onto Amazon or to Booklocker, and it's about, well, it varies between £12 and £15 when I was having a look, or you can download it from Kindle for about £2.50. But anyway, that's the book. It is Edward. It is a good read. It is a fascinating story, and Edward really is a fascinating character. I woke up this morning.